Today on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about making your offer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein, and you are listening to Seattle's home buying podcast. Hey, but good news, even if you're not in Seattle, this is a podcast for you. You can learn all about the home buying process, and everything we say translates to other states. But that's where I am. I'm Silas Lindenstein, and I am a real estate broker for Skyline Properties in the Seattle, Washington area. I started this podcast so that I could better educate home buyers, especially those new home buyers who are trying just to learn about this process for the very first time. But I've also found that it's very helpful for those home buyers who've been in a home for a while, and you know they're looking to sell their house and get out there again, and they're trying to figure out the landscape of what it's like to buy a home in this new technological era, right? A lot of things have changed since people and agents used to come by people's homes with books of homes and show them these little books of all these secret homes. Now information's out there everywhere, but you know, it's still a daunting process. And that's what we're here for, to break it down and make it simple. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, if you want to hear, you know, the step-by-step process of buying a home, you can go back and start with episode one and just kind of move on. This first 10, 12 episodes, it looks like we're just kind of hitting each step so that you have a better idea of what the process looks like. Then we're going to, you know, expand from there to different scenarios and ways that you can be a better home buyer. But today's episode is episode number 7. And the step we're at now is making your offer on a home. That's right. So you've gotten pre-approved. You've done your searches. You got your earnest money ready. Got all the funds ready, right? So you're ready to make an offer on the home. You walked in and saw this place and looked around a half hour and, walked around the neighborhood. Did your due diligence, making sure, looking on Google Maps and making sure, you know, it's not too far from your favorite food spots like Taco Bell or something like that, right? So now you tell your agent, we're ready to make an offer on this. And this is what we're going to do for this episode, because I don't want it to be like a half hour, hour long, like running all the different scenarios of what you could or shouldn't do. That's going to be for different episodes. We're going to break, you know, I'll help you out different scenarios on other episodes that we can search for. This one, I just want to go through the straight process of buying a home, because I think that's one of the top questions I get is, so how long is it going to be from when we put an offer into closing? And then after we get accepted offers, we're always like, okay, so what could go wrong? What are the spots that can go wrong? Now, there's a few big ones that we'll hit in here, but otherwise, you know, I would say play it safe. You know, don't put yourself in a situation that you can't afford for the closing to go a few days longer or, you know, something like that, because you just want to make yourself in a, you don't want to get your hopes up for the house until it's like, until you get those keys in the hand. Try not, you know, don't fall head over heels in love with the place. You know, you can like it and you're like, you know what? I really hope this works out. I really like dating this house, but don't put a ring on it yet. You know, think about it, have that in your pocket. Maybe like someday I'll do it, but just wait till you got those keys in your hand or you've signed everything. And then you know, it's good, right? Writing an offer. This is what happens. You found the home, and let's just for numbers say it was a $400,000 home. Okay. Or that's what the listing price is. So you tell your agent you want to write an offer for $390,000. So you want $10,000 off the price. You know, you think it's reasonable. Your real estate agent will tell you what they think based on other homes in the area, what the likelihood is. Maybe they hopefully have the situation on why it's selling and that kind of thing. Because hopefully they've already talked to the other agent a little bit. Okay, so what you're going to put on the offer, you're going to have an expiration date, a closing date, possession date, your stated earnest money, and then you're going to list all the different contingencies you have, inspection, finance, and utilities, etc. Okay, so let me break those down. Expiration date. So let's say today is, September 9th. So I'm going to submit the offer today, but I'm going to give them, I'm going to give them a whole day, like till tomorrow, because I want to show them I'm casual. You know, like, it's all right, no big deal. Get it or I don't. So it expires on the 10th. So in my state, in our contract, automatically the expiration date is 9 p.m. The time is 9 p.m. on that date. In other states, it's not the same. Check with your real estate professional on that. But here, it's automatically 9 p.m. If they do not accept it by 9 p.m. on the 10th, it's automatically a rejection. There's no response is a rejection. So there's that. Okay. You can do it on, today's the 9th. We can put it for the 9th. I can talk to them and say, can you show your client an offer tonight? And they say, yes, I can. So I put it for the 9th. I want an answer, yes or no. I do that more often than the other way. A lot of people are into 24-hour expiration dates. I like that day. Let's get a decision. Okay. So then closing date. Closing date is the date that usually you get possession. It's when all the signed paperwork gets sent in to be recorded for the record. Now, this changes state by state. In some states, you sign your paperwork on that closing date. That's when you go in and sign for the loan and everything, and it's official that day. In my state, you sign closing documents, so the loan for the house and everything, a day or a couple days before the closing date, so that everything's there ready in the morning. They send it up and they do funding. Bank doesn't want to hand over the money much sooner than the closing date. So that's why. So we are not a same day close, we are not a sign the same day as closing date state in Washington. So if you're in the Seattle area, you gotta make sure that coordinates with your agent and make sure it's going to work on that schedule. Possession date is the day you take possession. A lot of people, particularly in this area where it's a high seller's market, they might ask you something for like, well, I want possession a few days. Like, I want 3 days possession after the closing date. So that means they get to live in there as a tenant for 3 days, and then they'll move out. Then you can have the house. So it can feel anticlimactic. You got the closing. Everyone gets wants the closing date. They get the keys. And it's all smiles. And then you want to walk into that home. So sometimes it can be a little bit anticlimactic that you get it and you're like, well, we got to wait a week. Then we can go in. But it does happen a decent amount. One other thing. So if the closing date and possession date are the same, then just be aware you don't necessarily get, you're not supposed to get the house till it's recorded with the state, if the agent doesn't want to give you the keys right away, that's why, because they are technically, maybe 9 p.m. is the technical time that the house should be yours, but usually it's kind of cool, like if it closes in the morning, then we just hand over keys with the seller's and the seller's agent's permission. We just kind of, we do it as soon as it's been recorded. So hopefully that's early in the day. Then, of course, you stated earnest money. You put that on. You put that on the offer. And we talked about that in the last episode, what earnest money is. So usually you have to deliver that in 24 to 48 hours after the accepted offer. So once they say it, so have that ready. And then there's just different contingencies you'll have. You'll probably have an inspection contingency, a finance contingency, utilities. And so a contingency is, kind of do the dictionary here, but it's you will buy the house if they accept this offer, provided all of these contingencies are cleared or okay. And one is the inspection, which is in our state, 10 days is the default on there. Typically, to try to win a house badly, we'll say like 3-day inspection period, maybe even 5-day or 10-day or 7-day maybe. Depends how hot the house is. If everyone's going after it, you know, unless you did like a pre-inspection, sometimes people do pre-inspections and then just waive the inspection contingency. It's not recommended by my company or no real estate agent should ever suggest waiving that. It's a client's decision to do that, but we definitely see it happening here. Finance contingency means you got to get the loan. So if you don't get the loan, the deal's off. And that makes a lot of sense. So you virtually always see that. So you submitted that. Now, once you submit that, and let's say they do respond to you. So they have before that expiration date, they can sign and accept it straight as it is. And they say, fine, 390, that's close enough. Or they can counter offer. So they can be like, nope, I want 400, or no, you know what? We'll do 395 because we like you. We like the way you wrote your offer. We see that your agent, Silas Lindenstein, and he's awesome. Enjoy his comedy. Enjoy everything he does. We know he can close a house. So yeah, we'll do that. So, they do 395, or they can reject it. Okay. Now, that counter offer is technically a rejection of the offer. But now the ball's in your court. You can then decide whether you want to just accept that as they offered it, or you know, you can counter again. Every counter gives another 24 hours to the expiration. So, And so once everybody's agreed and everyone has signed and initialed any changes on it, then that is what we call in Washington State mutual acceptance. Mutual acceptance. Okay. You'll hear that term a lot from the real estate agent you're working with. Okay. Then it's when everything's accepted, all these dates start happening. Everything starts, all numbers start counting, all the number of days passing. So let's say you did put 5 days for an inspection period. So you'll have 5 days that you can go in, get an inspector in there to look at, and then you can submit your inspection request. And if you don't turn anything in, it's basically says that, well, then you're satisfied with it and you don't want anything further from them. And you're going to go ahead and proceed to closing if you don't turn it in within those 5 days. However, if your inspector finds something in there, you can send in a notification that you need additional inspections, and that usually extends the time a few days. So you have to check with the contract, read the contract, see how many more days that gives you. So, for example, if there was an inspector said, hey, you got to look at the chimney, and so you want a chimney guy to come over, you send it in the form, and it extends the time of the inspection from when you sent the form in. Now, if let's say you got an inspection and you had like a few items that you would like them to fix or something. So let me see. Let's say it was the outlets in the bathroom are not GFC outlets and you want them to replace them. You put on your inspection reply to them, you're going to put please replace the bathroom outlets with GFC or GCI. I'm blanking now on which one it is. You want them to change outlets on there to one that are up to the current code, right? So you can put that on there. You could also say, you know what, let's say the water heater's broken. You can say, you know what, in lieu of replacing the water heater, we'd like $1,000 credit so that you can do it on your own. Sometimes people just want to do it on their own so that you'll make sure it's done correctly, that kind of thing. So you can make So you can make requests for repairs or requests for credits or to lower the price of the house on that inspection form. And so now the owner, they can, or you know what, if you don't like what turned up in the inspection, like let's just say you found out, all the electrical needs to get replaced. You can just turn in the form saying, due to the inspection, we are now backing out of this offer. Please return the earnest money and good luck buying, selling the house. So you can do that. You can completely reject it and say you want out right then. So you're not locked in. So if you do ask for some repairs or credits, the owner then can, just like a counter offer. They can accept all the things you want and sign off on it and agree to everything, and they'll do it. Or they can submit a counter on the repairs to you. And that's the final step. When, if they do a counter, you actually have to accept what's offered or reject it and cancel the transaction. So, you know, gotta kind of walk through. You don't want to pick too much, because then they might just reject it because it's too, you know, it's way too much money for them. Or you don't want to, ask for too little. You gotta find that sweet spot. Like, how much do you think that they will give you? That's the key. All right, the next big milestone is appraisal. So the bank is going to send out somebody, an appraiser, for them to figure out how much they think the house is worth. So you bought it for $400,000. The bank, or you put an offer in for $400,000 and you're asking for the loan, right? On that, based on that amount. So the bank wants to make sure this house is worth $400,000. Or more, right? So they send somebody out who's supposed to be an independent person to decide. So if the appraisal report comes back and says it's 400 above, you're good to go. There's nothing has to be done. If they come back and say, you know what, it's only, you put in for 400 for this house, it's only worth 380. What happens then is, either the seller is going to need to reduce the price of the house to 380, or you are going to need to come up with that difference in money that they need. Now, you're not asking for 100% financing. You're probably, you know, at 10 or 20%. So, you know, you have to decide if you kind of want the house underwater. The appraiser is saying it's not worth as much as you're paying. So you have to decide at that point, do I want this house regardless? Because I know, you know, eventually real estate prices will rise. Do I think it'll rise? How long will it take? So at this point you can end up backing out of the house also because it's not worth what you thought it was. This is a good opportunity for that. Or unless they lower the price. If they lower the price, then you're still going to have to take the house. But yeah, that's the big potential hiccup. I know you're going to ask me how often does it happen? It only happens when you don't expect it. You know, I think that's how it is. That's why it's very important for this financing contingency to make sure that you're protected by the appraisal. Right. So let's say everything was worked out with that or appraised fine. Then the bank will do its final approvals for you because you've been pre-approved and now they finished everything and they're like, okay, the house, we see the house, what they want to buy. We think it's good to go. Your guys are now clear to close. And they send all the documents to the escrow company who's holding your earnest money, right? The escrow or title company and or title company, I should say. And then that company is going to reach out to you and the sellers to all come in and sign the documents, whether that's the day of closing or a few days before. Do that paperwork. And then they make sure every piece of money goes to where it's supposed to on the closing day, right? So they've got everyone's signatures and they've got everybody's money and they make it all happen. And then we come to the closing day. And that, as we spoke earlier, the day it's all finished, and then you get possession of your home ideally that day. And that's it. That's the step-by-step process. You know, and it took 20 minutes. I thought it would take a little less, but at least it's not 30. That's what I got to say. So that is the step-by-step process in the making an offer scenario. Yeah, there's a bit more to it, a lot of different situations, but I just felt it was most important for you to understand how this works. And, you know, there'll be details like, when should you order utilities? Ask your agent. Depends on the area. But hey, thank you so much for listening. That's our program for today. This is episode number 7, making an offer on your home. And hey, if you are in the Seattle area and you are looking to buy or sell a home, please check me out at SilasGetsReal.com, or you can text me at 206-351-9230. I'll also take a phone call, or email me at Silas@SilasGetsReal.com. And of course, if you found this podcast useful, please go to iTunes and rate it. That'll help share the information you're learning with other people. And of course, you know, also, you know, share it. Share this show on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Instacart, Amazon, wherever you are, share it. I'd appreciate it. But thanks for listening. Go buy that home. We'll be right back.